everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 12 of Rift Happens, a Coach Rivals podcast. I'm Justin, joined by my co-host, Lucas, over to my left. Lucas, welcome back to Rift Happens.
Thank you. It's been a very, it'll be the nice cap on a very relaxing day now that I'm on spring break. Yeah.
That reminds me of the Delane report.
I actually haven't watched it.
Oh, you gotta watch
those. I watched the first 30 seconds and I was like, no, I'm good. I don't want to get angry today.
It's words elude me and how to describe the Delane report. But just know, when you say it's a nice cap, I thought you were actually referencing it. Not an actual like cap, like the end of something. I thought you were kind of slipping something in to remind everybody of this incredible piece of internet media that has been released. You need to do yourself a favor and go watch it.
I will. Everything that I've heard leads me to believe that it's going to be similar to like a really low effort diss track made by like one of my high school students. But I don't know. I'm excited to see it, I guess.
I'll just tell you this. It starts off with him like tapping the mic and saying, is this thing on?
Oh, I saw that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you already know.
I saw the PBS transition. I saw that. And then that's when I clicked off and I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
It's man. Apparently, the next one is going to drop this week, this Thursday.
So
apparently.
Exciting. Very exciting.
So now what we have to look forward to each week, every time a new article drops talking about play versus and all that drama, we can expect, I'm assuming, a new Delane report. Mm. Man, can't wait. This Wake is up, really babe. New I've Delane report this... dropped.
This is what I've been waiting for my entire life. I don't think this is it. You know, I think this is what I've been missing.
Oh, man. All right. Well, other than you needing to catch up on all the internet media happenings, how's your week gone since last week?
Well, you know, we got to wrap up my little final week before spring break. I finished my Great Gatsby unit, and of course, I planned it perfectly so that the final day before spring break was a movie day. Which they tell me I'm not supposed to have as a good teacher, but you know, sometimes you need a movie day.
Amen.
And ever since then, I've just been playing video games. I got out of a jungle game literally right before I hopped in here, and it's been a blast.
So, all right. So you wrap up. Did you actually show the Great Gatsby?
Yeah. We do. So halfway through our unit, once we finish like chapters 1 through 5, I'm not going to spoil it. I know it's a classic and most people have probably read it or at least heard of it. But once we get to the halfway point, I'll show the first half of the movie. And then once we finish it, I'll show the second half of the movie.
All right. So the big question is Robert Redford or Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think this is just another, you know, feather in the cap of me being a youngster compared to y'all. I've never seen the old Great Gatsby.
Oh, compared to y'all.
Never seen.
What's happening?
Look, there's a reason I call you all boomers, my Coach Rivals community. You're all boomers to me.
Insulting. The Robert Redford version's good.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for sure. I remember teaching The Great Gatsby, and we always had a great discussion with the students over whether or not Daisy was justified in breaking her vows to Tom. And it was always just really good. It was a good moral discussion as far as like, you know, she has committed herself to her husband, but Tom's a jerk.
Terrible person.
Yeah, Tom is an awful, terrible person. And so it really got the students riled up because they're like, well, he did it first. I'm like, okay, so then we get into the discussion of, well, do two wrongs make a right?
Yeah.
And then they start talking about there were other things she could have done or this, that, and the other before she took those steps to be with Jay. And I don't know. It's an interesting conversation.
Well, my students for sure come out of The Great Gatsby very cynical. We talk about all kinds of fun, depressing things with the Great Gatsby. So we heavily cover the 1920s and the crash of the stock market and everything that leads up to it and comes afterwards. The Lost Generation and how World War One impacted all these people and their perceptions of, you know, their lives and the meaning of life. And I am a firm believer that every character in that novel is a terrible person. So it's just like when Even we finish Nick? It, they're all like, good. Oh, I think Nick is a terrible person, too.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? This is a fodder for a Coach Rivals literature podcast.
We should save this for sure. We could do a Coach Rivals book study.
There we go.
Before we bore everybody and continue with our Gatsby discussion, I do want to say Chase is in the chat, and he does remind me that he can be at your place before the show ends for retribution over the boomer comment.
Yeah, he better start driving. It's like a 55-minute drive.
We don't have a really long episode today. The goal is to get through this relatively quickly because plans changed. We were going to have Adrian Risley, COO of WeThink. He was going to be on today, but some of the things came up. We're going to have him on next week. So be sure to tune in for that. All of our listeners, be sure to check out the Discord for the link so you can submit your questions to him. WeThink is a great tool to begin developing and building soft skills with your teams. And you know, focusing on those aspects like teamwork, communication, personal responsibility, all that kind of stuff. It's a really, really cool platform. I'll let Adrian give us some more details next week. But I do want to remind everybody, too, that signups are now ready for Coach Rivals season. Is it three? I believe it is season three.
Weird. Three. Last year was season two.
Absolutely. So be sure if you are wanting to participate in the Coach Rivals League of Legends season this summer that you check out that sign up form. It is in the Discord. We have three tiers this year, tiers 1, 2, and 3. We have an unranked tier. I believe you have to be level 40. An account has to be level 40. In order for you to participate there, that is more of like the learning league like we had last year. Mm-hmm. And then we have a secondary tier, which is my understanding up until silver, I believe, is the maximum there. So you can be silver or below. And then the final tier, the upper tier, is gold and up.
Oof.
So are you competing this year?
I am going to be competing this year. I'll be balancing my duties. You know, I've and, you know, we're both involved in the numerous committees on Coach Rivals. So I'll be casting, maybe putting together some stream tools. What am I thinking of? Stream material. There we go. Streaming material.
Like production assets. Use.
Yeah. Production assets. There we go. And then also, competing.
Wow.
So we'll see if I drop out of gold in time.
What position are you going to look to play?
In the last month, I've played a ton of bot lane, I played a ton of top lane, and I played a lot of jungle. So I don't really know. I'm thinking of flipping, I don't know, like a 3-sided dice and going for it. We'll see.
All right. I look forward to it. I will not be competing. I'm just going to be casting and doing this thing.
Mm. You're not going to go to defend your title?
No. Last year was way too much. I'm just going to do the podcast this year. There was also a conflict of interest between the podcast and playing. And if anybody were to go back and look at last season's episodes, I intentionally never made our matches like match of the week where we would like try to preview it.
Aww.
But then Ronnie would always ask me, like, so with Team Tragedy, what do y'all think of me here? I'm like, Ronnie, shut up. Like, no. Don't want to talk about it because then it looks it just optics are really bad, right? So anyway, it's something that I tried to avoid and kind of walk on eggshells there. But this year, no. I'm all in on the podcast. We'll see. Unless it turns out that there's 23 people. No, wait. How many people are on a League of Legends team?
This is five people on a League of Legends team.
Five people, man. I'm thinking like Overwatch or something.
Quick maps.
You know, if it ends up being 19 people signed up for the upper league and they just need one more person to form a fourth team, then we'll see.
All right.
No promises.
Well, for anybody interested, please make sure you sign up. I know we're looking to have six teams in each league, which means we need roughly 30 people. So if you're at all interested, even as a new coach, talk to some of the other coaches who played last year. It's a great way to get into a game that you may not have ever, you know, may have been a little nervous about in the past. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of fun, and we do the whole production side of it. We have the podcast that features the matches. We bring stats into it, and we really hype up the players. And it's not LCS quality, but it's pretty darn good. Yep. We'll say that. We'll keep it G-rated.
Pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. All right, so this episode, I'm really excited for it. And the only reason why I thought of doing this episode with these pro player moments, or at least plays that are named after pro players and moments that they had, was it was one time in the podcast where I mentioned Messiah, and I don't that was one you hadn't heard of, if I remember correctly, and I was like, you haven't heard of the Messiah, and that's where I had this idea. It's like, oh, that'd be cool to kind of refresh our, not even refresh, but some of our coaches that may be listening that haven't really paid attention to professional League of Legends ever. They've never watched it or never been interested, but they may have heard some of these terms thrown around. I wanted to share them, I guess, with everybody. So we'll go over first. I'm sorry, I'm boring you.
I'm just tired. You know when you haven't done anything all day and you're just exhausted?
Right. You're on spring break this week.
That's me. Look, that's me.
So we're going to go over some of the well-known pro plays and the names that have been given to them. And then Lucas is going to bring us up with some of the more dishonorable mentions, kind of the terrible plays. And we'll kind of take a walk down memory lane here.
I'm excited. This is
going to be fun. All right, so our first one, I'm going to try to bring the audio down for it so it's not crazy. But the first one, this is the Messiah, okay? M-I-S-A-Y-A. This was the one that I had mentioned in one of the podcasts, and Lucas had not heard of it. But this is done when you're playing Twisted Fate. You ulti into a gigantic, you ulti basically into every single member of the enemy team if they're clumped up together. But you have to have a stopwatch or a Zhonya's Hourglass ready because, well, I'll just play it out and we'll let everybody see. But sorry, this is what old League of Legends used to look like, everybody, before the map got redone. It's pretty terrible. But you're going to see Messiah here. He's going to cast the Destiny and then take the gate into the mid lane. And as soon as he arrives, he goes golden into stasis. And this is when you're going to see multiple ultimates get used. So there was a Vladimir ultimate, an Ezreal ultimate. I think the Alistar may have done a Pulverize where he slams the ground and, you know, tries to knock everybody up. But the Messiah is ulting into the enemy team, going stasis as soon as you arrive, and try to bait out all of these, like, really crucial cooldowns that the enemy team may have. So I've done a form of this, but it's only to, like, two people. I think what made it so groundbreaking is, or so like crazy, one, because it was done in like a really old League of Legends, but two, it's an entire flipping enemy team that he's ulting into.
No fear.
Yeah, and I don't think that it would work as well today because I think people would be expecting it, especially after League of Stopwatch a couple of seasons ago, where, you know, everybody had a stopwatch and every single play involved a stopwatch. Tower dives at level 6 or whatever. It was just full of that, but it's definitely is an iconic play. And that's one. So now, you know, so what did you think about it?
Oh, I think it's one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen in League of Legends. I mean, just, you mess up even a little bit, right? You're immediately stunned and you're blown up and you just look like a moron.
Yeah.
I think it's probably my favorite because of the room for error there, right? If you even just a half second late, or even if you lag a little bit, you just ulted into the other team and died for no reason.
And I think too that if he were to hit his stopwatch before Gate finished, would it? I wonder if it would lock him back where he was. Like if it would cancel his TP. Like if he were to be like knocked up or something in the middle of casting his ult. So I think it had to be that perfect timing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So that was a cool one. Next, we have the Insec, which is very, very well known. Surely you know the Insec. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Who doesn't know an Insec?
this is the play that all aspiring Lee Sin players try to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting. Rubiel in chat, probably not because Ryze could stopwatch and still use ult. I think they patched that out.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. Because it was too free.
But he's right. You could. So more than likely that could have still been in the game at the time. So either way, I think it's still impressive, regardless. But yeah, that's a good point. So the Insec, we're gonna go ahead and play the Insec here. So that's it in full speed. So basically the Insec is with Lee Sin, you're going to... It was Zhonya's, Mr. Hernandez teaches. Oh, he did have Zhonya, that's why I did the stasis. He's just trolling again.
He's just being rude.
But Lee Sin will Q1, Q2, and then after he has gotten close enough, he will... drop a ward, W ward hop to the ward to get behind a high value target and then kick them back into the enemy team. So this clip here is about to show it in slow motion. And several things make this like really, really impressive. One, it was done, you know, in this professional competitive match. But two, this, to my knowledge, this is the first instance of it. There's the Q, there's the ward hop over. But it wasn't flawless, because after he ward hops, he still has to walk towards the Varus to end up kicking him back into his enemy team. Now, when you see people pull off an Insec, it looks a lot more smooth. It doesn't look as kind of choppy as this one was, but it's so groundbreaking because it was the very first one.
Yeah, I feel like any time we saw a really cool mechanical outplay or a really cool and unique use of a champion's kit, it really popped off, especially in the early years, just because there were so many things that hadn't been done yet. And now every Lee Sin in the world will try and do some variation of this. Now, this one is particularly impressive because the easy way to do it with Lee Sin is you Q1, Q2, and then you flash kick, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the easy one everybody does. But now it's, you know, Insec was really... impressive because he didn't have to waste the flash. He just ward hops over and gets that mechanical outplay off.
He was way ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. There's also you can kick flash, which is the timing is a little bit different. So if you flash kick, then mm-hmm. they can still flash on the other side of you, and you end up kicking them away. So now people have found that you can kick, start the animation, flash the opposite side, and it gives them less time to react to it. But I will say this, when Prowler's Claw came out, that also gave another way for people to Insec. They would Q1, Q2, Prowler's Crawl through, and then Prowler's Crawl behind them and then kick. So there have been a lot other ways to pull it off, but that was definitely the OG Insec.
Yeah. Very cool.
All right. So next, we're going to move into... Let's see which one I have queued up. Okay. This is Flame Horizon. It's named after Flame. So I will go back. So the TF play was named after Messiah, pro player. Insec, obviously, was named after Insec. And this one is just named after Flame, who was a top laner. This particular game here is from when he played on Immortals. But one of the things that Flame had the habit of of doing was absolutely dumpstering his lane opponent in CS. And there were multiple instances of him being over 100 CS Hunter CS over his opponent. In this particular example, he's at 293 to his lane opponent at 178 at the time of this clip. So basically, anytime you go 100 CS over your opponent, that is known as a Flame Horizon.
Flame Horizon. Yep. Yeah. And this one, we were talking about this before the show starts. This is one that's really popular. You'll probably hear it in your regular games too. Mostly because it doesn't require some insane mechanical outplay. So this, you know, could potentially happen in your bronze, silver, gold, plat games. But yeah, it's just a really great, basically just an indicator that you absolutely smash your lane opponent.
Yeah. And you see it. Yeah. And like you said, you see it in all levels, and you'll see it in post game chat. Like, can't believe our top laner got Flame Horizoned. and it always goes back to the pro player, Flame that, made it a habit of doing it against pro players. So, much different level, for sure. All right. Next up we have, the Mad Life, which these are always, always impressive. Anytime you are playing a, it's usually a hook champion, it's a support champion because Mad Life played support. But you're playing maybe Thresh, Nautilus, or Blitzcrank. Usually it's Thresh and Blitzcrank are the two that's most commonly associated with. It's the act of predicting a dash, flash, or a blink ability with your hook. So you can't, it's not the act of hooking after they've blinked. It's predicting that they will blink or will flash. You throw your hook in that direction, and it makes contact. So we're going to play this out so everybody can see it. So you'll see Mad Life come from the brush. He's already aiming in the upper right-hand corner. Ezreal Arcane shifts, and he hits the hook. And so that is one of the earliest ones that I can find. We did that, and he was just really known for that. So anybody says they pulled off a Mad Life, that is what they're referring to.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's this one you see all the time too. And even if you don't know what it is, you can normally tell when something similar happens when like the missing pings come out on your support that just landed one, and then some variation of like all caps responds like, "Oh my god, that was crazy! How did you do that? You're so good!" Blah blah blah. My favorite variation of this that popped out was not the predicting the flash or whatever you're using and catching them, but whenever Bunny Fufu popped into the scene in NALCS, he was really popular for catching like Jarvan's out with his flay. So like they're trying to flag and drag over him, and he uses his flay and predicts it at the right time. And that one's more of a mechanical outplay than it is a prediction, but Thresh in general just has like a lot of really fun, flashy outplay potential.
Yeah, for sure. And if I guess we can go on a side tangent here, but Thresh is one of those champions that if you like to mechanically style on people and have those flashy plays, like Luca said, Thresh is definitely the champion for it. I mean, his flay cancels so many abilities in the game, and it's such a short range that it's a very quick reaction. Thresh into Leona is really, really good because when she Zenith blades in, you buffer, kind of buffer your E, and it'll flay her off of you. So even though the Zenith blade connects, before her model gets to you, you've already flayed her off, and she's not within close enough range to actually auto-queue on you. So, and then the hook predictions, the hook lantern, when your teammate's taking the lantern, you can flash to extend the distance beyond that. All sorts of really, really cool plays with Thresh. And then, Bunny Fufu had some good ones, and there's some, I forget, is it Edward, I think, that calls himself, is it, they call him the Thresh Prince?
Yes, the Thresh Prince.
all right, cool. So next we have, this is probably, of anything on the list, probably the most well-known. If you don't know what this play is, or you've never heard of an Xpeke, don't feel bad. It's just, I think it would be odd for you not to know what an expeque is. But we'll kind of set the stage here. We'll let this play out as I kind of talk over it. But this is SK, which, by the way, at the time on this team, a member of SK was Carlos or Ocelot, who is now mm-hmm. the owner of G2. And playing against Fnatic, who is red side here. This is Xpeke on Kassadin. That's old, ugly skin Kassadin there. But he leaves. They fail to destroy the base. He goes into the upper left corner of the bot side jungle. TPs into the base to backdoor. And so it's him versus the Olaf. As a Kassadin, you see him just kind of rift walking back and forth on the other side of the Nexus. Gets hit by a couple axes, but poor Olaf, man.
Nothing he can do.
I think one of the coolest things about this, too, is you can see the delay on stage, because before Kassadin finishes hitting the Nexus all the way, you can already see in the player cams everybody freaking out.
Yeah.
And then when he goes over to SK, people are breaking headsets. You're going to see Ocelot. There's a lot of headsets being thrown. You'll see Ocelot with his scarf there. There's Ocelot. So many people attribute this game to why G2 hates Fnatic so much.
This one's so fun. I think, did we really have any popularized base races at the time, or was that really the first major one on stream?
It had to have been the first one where it's just a solo backdoor. It had to have been.
Because we probably had some base races before, etc. But this was a combination of, you know, like last second Hail Mary. Some decent mechanical outplaying to stay away from the Olaf the whole time and the Cho'Gath at the end. Just a very hype moment and very, like, this is like that hero moment that everybody thinks about, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, when kids who play baseball dream of the, you know, grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to walk it off. Like, this is the League of Legends version. My team is behind 56 minutes in. Some of us just died and they're probably trying to rush it down and end the game. This is my moment to shine, right?
Yeah. Patty Pornite in chat, the Kumo TP from FlyQuest and EG on Sunday as the Xpeke backdoor, you know, TP into the base and just solo in the game. Really cool. So, yeah, and I don't recall them even calling it an Xpeke then, but you will see it every now and then. It does come back up. But this was the one that really, really solidified that solo TP into the base in the game. And I think you're right. Probably one of the very first times that it happened. I mean, this is all the way back in 2013. So definitely in the in the ancient realm of League of Legends. Next one, not a very well-known one. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to turn the audio up for this one. This one's called a Bloodwater. This is Team Vulcan on the right side, not Vulcan like the support for Cloud9, or what used to be the support for Cloud9, but now is the support for EG. This is Team Vulcan. You may recognize some names on there, like Xsmithy, I believe, is in here. But either way, you have Bloodwater, who's on Janna, playing for Vulcan versus Cloud9. Cloud9 has full control over the Baron pit. Lee Sin is looking for maybe a ward hop or even a flash in the pit to smite, steal it. But something different happens. So we're going to turn this up and we'll let everybody kind of hear what happens.
That happened. All they have to do is stand within that Q. If he gets it, he's get that percent damage into the smite, and it's quite hard to dodge. But look at that. I'll just make a human wall here.
They might try to kill him.
They could get the pull on. They do. Oh, no, they do not.
Oh, my God.
There's the burn. The shield's going to wear off in time. Oh, the ultimate goes across. He gets out with 100 HP. The Baron,
what are you kidding me? Oh, Bloodwater steals Baron with a...
I don't even know what to
say. With a rank 1 tornado.
I love just the complete lack of reactions from everybody.
And it stole Baron.
Looking for the dragon. Like, we actually have a quick replay.
The only thing that happens there is Xsmithy, like pinches the bridge of his nose.
I liked Bloodwater's face too when he was able to pull it off. He's just kind of staring into the screen there. So nothing. Yeah, you're right. No real reaction there. But yeah, so this basically is a Baron Steel with a support ability that really should not steal the Baron. It was a level one Janna Q. Janna didn't really max her Q. She maxed her more her E and her W. The Q, the travel time was all the same. It was mostly a quick tap reaction to really cancel a lot of abilities. That's how it's primarily used. But not really like an engage tool or try to catch somebody out. It's mostly more reactionary. So yeah, this rank one Janna Q steals Baron away. But and the other thing too is they had a Nasus. If you saw that, Cloud9 had a Nasus on their team. Let me go back. This is old ancient meta here. Yeah, it was Meteos. Meteos was on Nasus jungle with Smite. Smite was up. And they poked the jungler out so much. They poked Dick Smithy out. He left. And they felt confident that they would have the Baron. And so they didn't expend Smite and lost it to a Janna Q.
Mm-hmm.
Shame. Always Smite.
Big shame.
Always.
Yeah, clips like that always make me sad because it just reminds me of old Cloud9, which I see some of the people in the chat talking about. And I was kind of lamenting with them. The OG Cloud9 roster that came onto the scene from Academy and just absolutely smoked everybody. Mm-hmm.
They're the team that made me a Cloud9 fan.
I think that's everybody. I feel like all Cloud9 fans got started. They're either like very recent with perks or like Blabber, or they're old school with the sneaky elimination, high, Meteos and balls.
Yeah, probably my favorite moment. And we'll get into this in a little bit. Well, I'll wait because we have our listener responses where they give their favorite like pro moments. Mine's a Cloud9 moment that really kind of sticks out to me that I value and treasure. But we have one more play to go over. That's a really, really good play. This is called the Captain Jack. This one is extremely difficult to pull off. But when it does get pulled off, it is amazing. I'm of the persuasion you pretty much have to be on zero ping. Like you have to be on Tournament Realm or something to pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Oh, man, it's gonna
be exciting. All right, so I'm going to turn, I'll turn the volume up so everybody can hear it. But Captain Jack is an ADC, and he's playing Vayne in this particular clip. With cleanse, so he's actually running, so flash cleanse, and what you're going to see is he is able to cleanse crowd control the moment, the frame that the crowd control hits him. Very impressive. Here we go.
For it, there's the Baron. They're going to try to get it. Can KTB come in with the engage? Ryu throwing the cards in. Baron very low. There's a good ultimate. There's a crescendo. Only hits Helios. Ambition with the Rune Prison on Kakao. Kakao Zonia's score on the outside. Get a call of it. Flame comes in with a taunt. Nice knockout from the Zyra ultimate. Helios traps up a couple people. Insect comes in late. And can they do enough damage here? Captain Jack trying to go up. Everybody getting so low.
A perfect cleanse from Captain Jack right as the gold card hits. Absolutely important. And look at this too. Ryu, look at this cleanse. Beautiful. Whoa.
Wow. Even slow motion. That
was just an unreal play. Like cleansing it as soon as the gold card touches. You either. And there's no stutter. And we talked about this before we went live. What was so impressive about it is there really is no moment where he just stutter steps from being hit with the gold card.
Yeah, Vayne's walking animation never stops. Like, she is continuing through. There's no stop then restart. It is just, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
The Captain Jack. And I guess that's what makes some of these so cool is, and I meant to mention this with the Mad Life, is they do have, like, slim margins for error. With the Mad Life hook, if you're trying to predict their dash or their blink and they don't blink, you look like a moron, like, because you've just thrown this hook out into an empty space and they weren't there. And then, of course, you get question mark pinged. Sometimes those are good. In that case, it would be bad. And this one, if you cleanse too early, then you still get CC'd. If you cleanse too late, well, that could still mean that you get locked up and you eat a bunch of, maybe some subsequent damage or something like that. It's just really, really impressive. And that's on old League of Legends, too, before we went through the optimization that we have today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Lucas, hit us with some that you have of dishonorable mentions, pro plays from pro players that their name will go down in infamy.
Yeah, so we're going to try and go from oldest to most current, so we can kind of get into the realm of our more modern viewers. Chill out, Robbie. We're getting there. So first up, we have three of my favorites. We have our Scar Award, which is just – I'm trying to remember the exact clip. I want to say that it's trying to ward from Dragon over into – Tribrush,
yeah, on
Suicide, yeah. And you just miss it over and over again. Like, I think there's a clip of Skara trying three different times, and he just completely fails it. So that's a popular one, the Skara Award. We also used to give Saint Vicious, who was an old player for Curse, I believe, yep. Was his OG game.
Old team Liquid, right? Prior, yeah, before they were Liquid.
Before they turned into Team Liquid, they were Curse. He was renamed to Smite Vicious because it was pretty – it had to have been a mental block, but he missed multiple Baron Smites, not just in individual games, but, you know, probably 10-plus over the course of a single season. Just struggling over there.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah, he got memed on hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was constant. Every Reddit thread, every post-game Reddit thread was Smite Vicious, Smite Vicious, Smite Vicious. Then we have another one, which is a fantastic clip. We should probably go and try and find that if y'all have not seen it yet. We have our Yellow Star. Okay. Yellow Star was an OG support in one of the first imports. He eventually was imported from Fnatic into TSM, if anybody remembers that. That was a pretty spicy time. But there's a clip of him trying to get a flash hook on somebody. He flashes, misses the hook, pops down his ult, and nobody's in range for it. And then he doesn't just miss his flay. He does his flay horizontally when somebody is in front of him. So just not even close to getting near him. So yeah, that's a Yellow Star when you just flash and then miss all of your abilities that you were trying to hit.
I'm going to grab it real quick. I don't know if it's going to let me.
It's hysterical.
Let's see if it's going to let me.
Ooh, let's look at your bookmarks real quick. Got YouTube homepage, Doom Radio. That's a good one. 20-minute full.
That's when I thought I was going to start working out.
20-minute full body workout. Yeah. I'm assuming that is.
Let's see. So I got Wordle on there, and I've got, because my summoner name has a special character now, because somebody took my OG Neshama name. I have to bookmark the thing so I don't have to copy paste my name in it. So I bookmark op.gg, Mobalytics, and championmastery.gg. And then I've got over here how to root my OnePlus phone. Yes. So nosy, Lucas.
Now, look, I love getting little glimpses into people's lives. I'm like the worst person to be around because if something pops up on your phone, like, my eyes are immediately drawn to it.
All right, so here's the Yellow Star. The flash
misses the hook.
Flash
misses
hook, the flay ult, box. And then,
like, the flay was straight up sideways, not even anywhere near the Leona.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, so bad. And you see him on the player cam too. You see him rock back and forth. He drops his head. He drops his head in disgust. Poor man. Oh my gosh. It's terrible. Robbie's calling me out too. They always look in the background of people's photos they post on the Discord. Nice. Hush you. Okay. All right. Hit us with another one.
I'm trying to think of my other list. Let's go through these. We've got Cody Sun, which we talked about earlier, who is famous for, in a high-pressure game, flashing right into the enemy team and getting blown up as an AD carry. You know, somebody who is typically squishy and is supposed to stay on the outskirts and deal a lot of damage. He just flashes into the enemy team. And here we go.
Oh, yeah, we got it pulled up.
So Cody Sun wants in, and they're not going to mean too much. The wave crew not yet there for the Fnatic. Boss later, shot with again. They go for front lane because they have the damage of it. Will so as well.
If I remember correctly, like, Fnatic goes to turn the fight, and as Immortals is getting away, it's like he betrays his team.
I want to say that he went for like the hero resets. Yeah, look at this. He's going to try and flash on the Reckless. Look.
Yeah.
Andy ults caps onto X-Men. Oh, man. And you are, your eyes are not deceiving you. That is a jungle Ezreal on X-Men. Back when that was the thing with Triforce and Predator. Not Predator. I don't know what that one was called. Tracker.
Yeah. I don't know. Something. That, like Runeglaive was another item that Ezreal could abuse as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to try and find Broken Shard as well?
Yeah, we can pull up the Broken Shard.
Broken Shard's a little easier to understand.
All right, go ahead and hit us with what a Broken Shard is.
So Broken Shard was, I'm trying to remember what team he was on. Was it Vulcan? Was he the, no, because that was X-Fifty.
Is this the red buff?
Who did he play for? Yeah, this is the red buff. Broken Shard played for quite a few teams. Complexity, SK, then went back to EU, or I don't know. He's also a coach for a little while, but he was a jungler and died to red buff in the middle of a pro game. It's just slightly embarrassing.
And Double Lift has as well. We'll talk a little bit about Double Lift here in a little bit. We'll bring up that play. But, yeah, here's the Broken Shard. Has, like, 200 HP on Vi. Gets the shield with the passive. And this is back when red buff was three different monsters instead of just a singular monster. So we... so bad. And it was a promotion game, too. I just realized that. This is back before before they did franchising.
Yep.
So teams could, if they did poorly enough, they could just be eliminated from the LCS.
Yes. Very.
Looks like very, he has smite. Oh, he did smite.
He used a smite, but this was before smite gave you health.
Oh, yeah.
So he's trying to take it.
Poor guy. Oh, man.
Spicy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he played for Complexity. I remember who that was for.
All right. What
else
you got?
Crazy. I think that is the ending of mine. I'm trying to see if I have any more. We also, as we were introduced to last night, there's for our non-pro plays, we have pulling a Lucas, which is blatantly stealing a pentakill from your Rift Happens co-host in the middle of one of our flex games.
All right, so let me set the stage. So I was first pick mid. I locked in Kayle because like we didn't discuss like what sort of comp we're going to run, whatever. And so I'm like, let's just get some late game insurance. So I locked in Kayle. I've played Kayle mid quite a bit. And when I get auto-filled top, I'll play Kayle top. So anyways, I'm playing Kayle mid, doing well in lane. I'm actually ahead in lane over the Corki, who I was against. And so we're already off to a really good start. So once I hit level 16... it's, you know, with Kayle, it's pretty much GG. Kind of like Kassadin. He turns into Castle Wynn when you hit level 16. So we had this insane team fight breakout near the dragon. I end up getting a triple, and then I get a quadra, and the last person left on the enemy team left to kill is Sion. And so we're wailing on the Sion, and I see quadra pop up, and I'm thinking, hey, that's Penta. Give it to me. And I say it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And my Kayle Penta got stolen because my top laner playing Ornn auto attacked and used probably his Bellow's Breath or whatever onto the Scion and stole my Penta, which is, it wouldn't have been an accidental Penta. That was a, the stage was perfectly set. There was no way that I could have been denied that Penta other than a teammate trolling me.
And not my proudest moment. It felt good. You know what? I'm going to lie. I'm going to change that. That was probably one of my proudest moments ever playing League of Legends.
Oh, nice.
I deserved that kill. I soaked up so much damage for y'all. Started so many team fights. Extended so many team fights. That was mine. I bought you the time to scale and come online.
Is that what it is?
As Robbie is pointing out, the next two games were my penance for that night. I was absolutely manhandled in my next two games.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, never forget. Never forget. Yeah, he. Yeah, you.
Can I? Let me see if I can find my match history.
It was bad.
Those were. Let me see. What is? So after.
After stealing my Penta.
So after stealing his Penta as Ornn, I went 4-4-10. Right, we were fine. I played Gangplank. Just I was feeling a little spicy. You know, wanted to play some Gangplank. I got smacked around by an Irelia. I was like. Probably like 1-6 at 15 minutes. It was rough. Now I started doing some damage late game, but at that point I really it was like 15-0 because she'd gank some other lanes too, and she was just 1v5ing, so it didn't matter. And then the very next game, I'm like, this is not happening again. I'm playing somebody tried and true. I pick Camille. Instantly, somebody picks Gangplank against me, and I'm like, great, this is my time. I'm gonna be able to. Redeem myself from last game. This Gangplank slaps me, and it was not even close.
Yeah, that Gangplank was balling. That man was on a mission. He was insulting us in all chat too, and snoring in there and emoting in the mid lane. He was feeling it. I've got one for you. I've got the taking it back to pro plays because we're not pros. Double lift Lucian into Crown's Victor is a good one. So this is TSM playing against Samsung, and double lift at this moment, double lift is like 60% HP. Crown's Victor is like 30% HP, and double lift's like, you know what? I'm just gonna dash in and kill the Victor. So we'll roll it back a little bit. And then he just gets absolutely one shot. So you're going to – this does get referenced. I heard it actually referenced the other day. And it was a matchup. It was a similar matchup. It was in a pro match, but it was a Lucian and a Victor. And the commentators referenced the getting revenge because the Lucian killed the Victor instead of the other way around. But, double lift. Double lift's also died, I think, to chickens or raptors. I think, or maybe it was red buff. I think he was trying to take red buff on his way from mid to bot or something and died. There was a game, I want to think it was Dignitas, or it may have been Curse, but like three people died at the bot tier one tower. I don't remember that one fully. I'll have to do some research and pull it back.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
But some really, really cool... Go ahead.
It's just so funny to me because that is like such a gut punch for the rest of your team. Like the rest of his team is probably like, I cannot believe he just did that. He just absolutely threw this game. Because if you look at that game, they just got a 3-0. TSM won a team fight, which they were like 4K gold behind. Win that, right? 3K gold behind. They're moving up towards Baron, and then their AD carry just straight ends into the Victor, and there's... I want to believe that they ended up losing that game after that. Like, they didn't take Baron, and then they just lost.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, too, like, going back and watching it now, I'm wondering if he was trying to, like, spam his abilities instead of just autoing him. Because I think he could have just autoed and killed him with the passive and the double tap. But he was probably trying to hit his Q on him first. Well, the Victor ult came down and silenced him, so then he just looks like a moron trying to smash his abilities.
Oh, yeah.
Man. But, yeah, so I think that's it, unless you got any other pro moments for us.
Just something that was referenced in chat that I, in the vein of dying randomly when you shouldn't have in a team fight, we've got the classic Jensen Echo, which happened twice.
Oh.
Two times against TSM, both times.
Yeah.
He was, or no, it was T-Lel, I think. I think both times it was Team Liquid.
I think he did it once on Cloud9.
I think, no, I mean, he was on Cloud9, and I think it happened against Team Liquid.
Oh, I got you.
Regardless, it was in two different championship games where they were on game point. Like, they were up, it was like 2-0, 2-1, 2-2 for all the marbles, and he just dies as Echo, having Zhonya's and ult up. I think it happened twice.
Mm-hmm. And the game doesn't end right away, so he has to sit there and just stew. And you see him shaking in the player cam. He's shaking, you know, what, like, because he knows. And you see him, he puts his hands up. He's like, oh, no, I didn't, you know, and it's hard to read his lips. But then they have to sit there and watch as the enemy team just kind of marches into the base. And they're hoping that respawn timers come in. And, of course, they don't. So, yeah, feels bad. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Poor Jensen. Man doesn't even have a team.
Jensen. Yeah, he's teamless. That'll change in the summer. I feel like most people
TSM
think that's going to happen. TSM Jensen, the ultimate villain arc.
Let's get into some of our listener responses. We did ask you, are there any moments from professional League of Legends that are solidified in your memory? Maybe the first pro game that you saw, a hype moment that got you itching to play, or a game that really solidified your belief in the competitiveness of the title. Please share with us. And I thought about this too, because we do have a lot of our coaches going to the LCS Spring Finals. I'll be there. Lucas, I think you've got a volleyball match, right?
Yeah, I was planning on being there, and then we have a volleyball tournament that weekend.
So I was going to pick you in up Mobile. On the way.
I know, we had a whole plan.
So I'll be driving from Mobile all the way to Houston. So if anybody's on the way and need to ride, but I will say I'm not driving back till Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm driving Friday to get there. Already got the hotel booked for 3 nights, and then we'll be driving back Monday. So hit me up if y'all need to be picked up on the way. But in that light, I was hoping that we would get some responses here, and we do. We have two responses. I'll let you take. Do you want to take Hernandez Teaches?
Do I have to? Oh, you know what? His is fine. His is fine. We're good.
All right. So let me go ahead and take Cannon Teach first. Cannon Teach out of Colorado says maybe the he says Flash Smite Scuttle, you know who and you know when hashtag iconic. Yeah, this has got to be
Blabber.
Oh yeah, the old crabber. And that that was Worlds this past year, right?
Yes, it was. Blabber got what? Okay, so it was the game. I think the game before that he got double scuttled and just absolutely, like, from that point, it was just game over. And then second game they played, he was like, not happening this time. He goes for that second scuttle to make sure he's not getting double scuttled. And he flashes, smites it, and then immediately dies. And then, like, another person on his team dies. And Cloud9 starts with, like, a 1K gold deficit at, like, 6 minutes. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was very, very bad. And then the crabber meme emerged and was born in that moment, and he did it more than once. Like, he kind of he was coin flipping scuttle crabs when he really didn't need to, because actually that was before they nerfed scuttle experience and gold for the very first, before they had baby scuttle for the very first spawn. So he deemed it worthy, but he'll be forever memed for it.
Forever memed for it.
All right, hit us with our next one.
I really like Robbie's Mr. Hernandez Teaches from San Antonio. Says it's not from a game, but from the World's Finals for League of Legends. It was their opening ceremony a couple of years ago, and they used augmented reality for their performance on stage. There was a thin curtain and projections to make it possible. Gives me chills every time I see it. Also, Double of Choking on every world stage he plays on made me happy.
Absolutely.
So clearly, Mr. Hernandez Teaches is not a Double of fan. But I also love this performance. If you've never seen it before, I want to say it was not last year or the year before that, but the year before that, because I think I was still in school. I think it was in college. But, you know, Riot likes to do their virtual bands or virtual music groups. Mm-hmm. And so they came out with True Damage, which was a pop group, not a pop group, a hip hop group, and they actually brought the voice actors slash singers for the hip hop group to Worlds, and they performed a live show at 2021. Oh, wow. That was really recent. What? No way. Anyways, it was one of the coolest performances I've ever seen. They put a little augmented reality thing up on the stage.
Was it thanks the big, to holograms like, box? On stage.
It was like, a yeah. It wasn't a box. I'm trying to see. I don't really know. It doesn't look. It just looks like a curtain. So okay. they can play like holograms up on it. Okay, 2019. Yeah, he was right. Very cool. Probably one of my favorite live performances I've ever seen. It was just really, really cool the way that it worked out. It was also really neat because these are pretty mainstream people. So it's really neat. I like to show that to people and kind of let them be wowed by the performance.
Very yeah, cool. For sure. Yeah, Riot's production value is always through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have any moments that obviously not we talked about like these iconic moments, but anything
yeah.
From your viewings of professional play that kind of stick out to you?
I've got two. They kind of go hand in hand with each other, but I've been a Cloud9 fan for a long time, and there's always the meme of, you know, Cloud9 being America's last hope or NA's last hope at Worlds.
Don't take mine, please. This better not be mine.
Okay, so I think I know what you're going to bring up, so I will bring up a personal favorite. I've played League of Legends for a very long time, pretty much from when I was a freshman in high school to now. And I remember one night or one year, the Worlds finals were on the same night as Homecoming. And so we had gone to Homecoming. I went with all my nerd friends and at like 10, not at 10, at like midnight, we all went to another friend's house afterwards and just hung out, right? Just hung out after Homecoming. And so I pulled up, Worlds finals on, not Worlds finals, but the World Championships on my phone and watched it. And it was the Cloud9 versus Samsung Galaxy Blue game where he almost solo carried. He did solo carry a game against Samsung Galaxy with Lucian, and then they banned his Lucian from him the next two games. And it was so hype. They ended up losing. It was so fun. And I just remember like screaming at the top of my lungs at like 1 a.m. in my friend's house after Homecoming. Very, very fun moment. Very fun memory. My second one is a little more meme-y, but I will always remember a wild card region making it to quarterfinals and an NA team not.
yeah. Mine's also a Cloud9 moment. It was from the 2014 World Championships versus Samsung Blue, game number two of the quarterfinals. Because as you mentioned, Cloud9 is the most successful NA team in Worlds. World's history.
Mm-hmm.
That they consistently, I don't say consistently, but they have made it out of groups more than, you know, any other team from NA. They were playing Samsung Blue, and it was game two, and they were getting absolutely slaughtered in this game. I've got it pulled up right now. By the end of the game, it was like 28 kills to 5. They got absolutely blasted, but from about the 27 minute mark or so, 25 minute mark, High was on Zed, and he was constantly in the sideline, like it was Secret Agent High, hiding in the brush, and he would he'd be in one brush, and a minion wave was coming, and so he'd wait, the minion wave would pass. And he would like shadow out and then dash to the next brush so he could just sit there. And Samsung had no clue where he was at. He was constantly trying to backdoor and pull waves and everything. And to me, that was just really, really cool because it showed how much strategy can go into the game versus just, hey, let's just group up as five and force a team fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, they still lost. But it did keep them in it a little bit because is that the idea of playing with the knowledge that the opponent has and trying not to give them free information, you know, unless getting that giving them free information is worth you getting, you know, like a tempo advantage or something like that. But For the most part, you want to, you know, use pink wards and blind the opponent, and you want to have rotations that are hidden from lane to lane. And that was one of the first games I watched where it like really clicked for me that was just a really, really cool way to play. And yeah. I hate that they didn't win, but they took one game off of them.
They did. Yeah, they did. Very fun moment.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that is that's going to do it for us, Lucas, unless you have anything else.
No, I'm good. I like our timing. I'm not going to keep it any longer. Thank you all for watching. And check back. Remember that next week we have our second guest.
It's like a third.
Who is?
It's our third guest. Adrian Risley. Some of you may remember the name because he worked for a well-known tournament organizing league that some of you may or may not use or have used. Adrian was actually my account rep way back in the day, and he had to call me and basically try to put out the flames because I was so like hot mad. And I was emailing back and forth, and he called my cell phone and was like, "Hey, we need to talk." So he had to call me and deal with angry Justin over esports leagues. So, so it was pretty cool. So since then we've stayed in touch, and we remember that. I'll bring it up next week, but we'll have Adrian. Yeah. He's with WeThink. He's the COO. So be sure to check them out at WeThinkInc.us. WeThinkInc.us, I believe, is the URL. Check them out. So it's basically a program for you to incorporate into your esports practices and your meetings with your players, and have another system to help them develop their soft skills. And he'll be able to present more of that to you. Also, be sure to sign up for Season 3 of Coach Rivals, our League of Legends competition. I believe we have Rocket League competition coming back as well. So be on the lookout for that. So check that out in the Discord. Until next time, for Lucas, I'm Justin. We'll see you guys next time.